Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Jeffrey Pilgrim to begin another chapter of Office Wife.
Well, this is it. Marcia, through her uncle, Tressida Bendigo, tried to force me into a corner, tried to contrive a situation where I'd have to get rid of my secretary, or say, in effect, yes, I'm in love with her. Well, I did the only thing to force Tressida Bendigo's hand instead. I told Benny Puller I'd resign from Bendigo's and take the position he's been offering for weeks, and I was careful to say plenty about it on the phone. Why? Because Marcy has had Millie Moffat listening into my phone conversations, that's why. And now, here in our flat at 9 o'clock.
All right, Marcy's out of the way. What do you think you're doing, negotiating with Puller?
Isn't it what you wanted, sir?
You block-headed young fool. All I wanted you to do was to break the Bronson woman's contract.
And so you sent Harry Palmer to pitch me a lot of rot about overhearing you and Mr. Fleming on his office intercom. I ask you, sir, what sort of a firm am I working for?
Don't yell at me, Pilgrim.
I beg your pardon, but I'm completely fed up. Fed up with the back teeth. I've tried to do the right thing. To pull my weight because I'm married into your firm. I've tried to keep Marcia happy as my wife. And to keep people's infernal gossip from messing up my marriage. And look how it's turned out.
It's your own fault.
It is not my fault. It's Marcia's for being a spoiled, suspicious little brat. And yours for pandering to her.
That's insolent rubbish.
Nevertheless, sir, it's the truth.
Why did you want to tell Puller you'd take over his northern office? If you're not duping Marcia, why should you go behind all our backs to Puller?
Because it's the only way I can see to straighten this matter out. Either you let me run my home and my office, or I'm off. And Marcia can come north with me or not, just as she pleases.
By Godfrey, you must be fond of your wife.
How do you expect me to be fond of her? How do you think she found out I'd been to Puller this morning?
All right, how?
By paying Millie Moffat to snoop on my phone calls.
What?
Go on, open the door and ask her.
You're not making this up. She actually did that.
And she has someone else on the job for it, too. A few nights ago, I tried to get Stella and Marcia together so we could clear the air.
I don't want to hear a long story now. I want to get this Puller business straightened out.
Well, there's not much more to be said, is there? Haven't I made myself clear?
I'd like to tell you to go to the devil. But I have Marcia to consider.
Well, consider her, then. I've always had a lot of respect for you, sir, as a man of reasonable common sense. But maybe I've been wrong.
I don't have to take this from you or anyone else, Pilgrim.
I'm not dishing out impertinence for the fun of it. But if we don't get this matter thrashed out now, we never will.
No, we shan't. You seem to be put out because of the way I've gone about things.
I certainly am, sir.
Well, that's too bad. But where Marcia's happiness is concerned, I'll do as I jolly well see fit.
Marcia's happiness? If she lives to be 100 years, she'll never be happy while you help her with every adolescent whim that enters her head. She's my wife. I don't care who you are. You shouldn't have interfered.
You're not mincing words tonight, are you?
No, sir, I'm not. I have to stand on my feet sometime. I'll finish up with a collar around my neck and Marcia tugging at the leash. Now, what are we going to do? Shake hands and declare the subject closed? Or shake hands anyway and say goodbye?
You won't retract? You'll leave us and go north for Puller rather than kick the Bronson girl out?
Rather than kick her out on yours and Marcia's terms, yes.
All right. So that's the way it is.
I'll run my own life, sir, if I have to peddle apples on the street to do it.
Then we say no more. Stay as we are. For the time being. Oh, no, no, we won't shake hands. Bad Pilgrim, let me tell you something. You better keep your eye on the ball. You better watch your step, or you... Well, we might see you peddling apples yet before you're finished. Now, do you understand? Now, make yourself scarce. I've a private phone call to make.
What?
Now, go on, go on. I know it's your apartment, but right now I'm in charge.
Yes. Well, in a way, you do pay the rent, don't you?
Percy Fleming. Now listen, Percy. First thing tomorrow morning, make arrangements to have Miles Hendricks transferred to our western branch. You heard me. I don't care what you have to do. Do it. Give him an extra couple of hundred a year, anything. What for? Well, I want to replace him with a new man to keep watch on certain people in my business. I came to a very strong conclusion tonight, and I'm acting on it. Right away.
Here we are, Angela. How could you improve on this? A warm night, the hood down, starry sky overhead, the faintest suggestion of a breeze, and only the waves are moving.
You sound like the words of a pretty corny song. You know, Bobby Sox's dream.
Oh, I've driven you a long way for you to be gloomy.
You have only yourself to blame, nattering for 30 miles about Geoffrey Adrian Pilgrim.
I think that Marcia's just about ripe for the divorce.
So you drive me 30 miles down the ocean road on a balmy summer's eve. Sorry. I don't get the connection.
It only needs a gentle nudge from the right direction to push Jeff Pilgrim over the cliff.
And the gentle nudge would consist of giving Marcia more food for thought where Stella Bronson's concerned. Is that it?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Remember 3 or 4 months back, Harry? You wanted me to play ball with you then. Remember?
But 3 or 4 months ago, Angela, Geoffrey hadn't given you that verbal lashing and thrown you out of his flat.
Wouldn't you look quaint if I went to Jeff Pilgrim and told him all about his tried and trusted friend, Harry Palmer?
You weren't.
Why won't I, darling?
Because you're Angela Tennant, and you don't like being thrown out of people's flats. Am I right?
You could be.
Well, what about it? You see more of Marcia than anyone. You could put in some good work.
So that when it was all over, you could step in and marry Tressida Bendigo and company. Harry, dear boy, what do you actually expect me to say?
I never stick my neck out that far, Angela.
Then I'll tell you. I don't like Jeff Pilgrim, but not for the same reasons as you. You loathe the chap because ever since he stepped into the Bendigo building, he's beaten you all along the line. He's gone ahead of you in his job, and he married Marcia Capehart. And as for helping you wreck his marriage, I don't want any part of it. If it goes on the rocks, I don't care a tinker's benediction, but don't try to involve me, Palmer. Catch on? Don't drag me into it.
What are you doing? Adjusting your halo or something?
No, panting for a drink. Do I get one?
I should let you walk home after that. It's quite an idea.
But you won't, will you? You couldn't afford to have me turn on you, not after tonight. So start her up, Harry darling.
Could you come over to my office for a minute or two, Jeff? I'd like the odd word.
I can clear off if you like, and you can have it here.
Oh, would you mind?
Not at all. I feel like a cigarette.
Thanks, Stella.
Well, what's on your mind, Harry?
I'm glad you're out of the wood with old Bendigo. I couldn't say much when you told me this morning, but it's a load off my mind.
It's a load off mine, too.
I bet it is. How did Marcia take it all?
Not too well. But she'll get over it. I hope.
That's the way it goes. Listen, what are you doing tonight?
Nothing. Unless Marcia has plans, and I don't think that's likely.
Why don't you come over to my place?
Good idea. So long as you don't ask Stella, too.
Why not?
No, use your head.
All right, then. Just you and I and Marcia and someone for me to make it a foursome.
Marcia?
Of course, that's what I meant.
We'll be skeletons at the feast, old boy. I'd better wander over by myself.
Just as you like. Well, see you at 8, then, or thereabouts, huh?
Uh-huh.
Are you going, Harry?
Uh-huh. It's all yours.
I timed it nicely. What did he want me out of the way for, Jeff?
Oh, nothing in particular. Just something about Marcia and me.
I see. None of my business. Well, shall we get back to work? There's an awful mess of letters.
Yes, we'd better. Unless we want to come back here after dinner. What I say, take a tip. Don't go to Palmer's place tonight if he asks you.
Why?
Because I'll be there, that's why.
You're not making sense.
Yes, I am. Promise?
I shouldn't, but I do.
Right, here we go. Grab your pencil.
But just a minute, Jeff. I'm not going to organize my social life just to avoid you all the time, as though I owed you money or something.
Then I'm afraid I'll have to avoid you.
Oh, it goes on and on. Now that you've cleared up this last business with Mr. Bendigo, I think we both relax a little.
Yes.
Seems no matter what happens, you're perpetually hag-ridden by Marcia.
Now, wait a minute. I've told you before, Stella, I will not have you making cracks about my wife.
I don't mean to. I just can't help it.
You'll just have to help it. Can't you realize we're both on very thin ice? Do you want to finish up being hauled into court and ripped to shreds in a divorce case?
No, but it makes me laugh. Your wife does everything she can behind your back, but you can always trust me.
Stella, will you keep your voice down?
I have to listen to your domestic woes and help you manage your life and keep out of your way after office hours so that you and your wife won't be embarrassed. And for what? It'd serve you right if I helped your divorce along. How do you know I'm not straining every nerve to get you away from her?
But I do know. You are, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I suppose I always have been. One way or another.
So Jed's coming to my place tonight. Without Marcia. I didn't think he'd bring her to. Oh, well, it all helps. You only have to be patient. It's the waiting game that pays. And you can wait. Can't you, Palmer, little boy?
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.